The songs that I chose for this worship I call Commitment and Consecration, because it's all about Jesus. My life is in you, Lord. Where else could I possibly be? In moments like these, especially in times like these, the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. With all that I am, Lord, here I am, withholding nothing. And where do I want to be? In your presence, O Lord. There's no place else where I'd rather be. So about a month or so ago, I had a very interesting experience. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days that more and more he will give his children dreams and visions. And I'm not quite sure what to call this one. I suppose it's a dream. I think I was asleep. But in my sleep, I was very awake and very conscious. And the Lord just downloaded in me a lesson that he wanted me to teach. And in this dream, I started teaching and preaching. And it just started flooding out of me. And it just flooded and it came and it came and it came. And every single word of that teaching, for however long that was, I heard me say every word that the Lord put in my mouth to speak. And I guess I must have awakened. I'm not sure if I was really awake, or if in the dream, when I finished, I said, Lord, that was really good. I need to write that down. I need to capture that. And he said, no, get your sleep. I'll give it to you later. That's fine. And so over time then, he did impart to me the essence of what I taught that night. And that's what tonight's lesson is all about. It is from the heart of God. It is to each one of his children. Him reaching out and letting us know how important the bottom line of this teaching is to him. Jesus, you are our everything. We love you, Lord. The title for today's teaching is, What Were We Expecting? So what did we think was going to happen? What were we expecting? You know, for years, we've known that ABC is an end-time ministry, and we've known that there are things about this ministry. God's going to show us things that not every ministry is going to be in tune to hear. They're not going to be at the level to know and understand. But God keeps drawing us deeper and higher. You know, how you can go down and up at the same time, I don't know. But in God, all things are possible. So in him, we go deep, 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 and we go high in the glory. And we knew that we were living in the last of the last days. Why would ABC be an end-time ministry if this weren't the last days? But I'll tell you something. When Pastor Joshua taught on the Book of Revelation series, wow, we had so many revelations, so much understanding we never had before. And it was just awesome. It was just amazing. For me, the greatest revelation was understanding that we are living in the Book of Revelation right now. It's no longer sometime off in the future. It's now. We're in it. We're living it. And oh my, that was very exciting. We know a lot of what we have to look forward to now from that series. And, you know, it's just amazing God chose us for such a time as this. Do you realize that? For the very last of the last days, for a time that's so important in history that the end of Hebrews 11 talks about, we call it the Hall of Fame of faith people. And they say, they express their desire, they wished that they could be here with us at this time. They wish they could see the fulfillment of all of this. But God chose us. He chose me and He chose you. And I want you to say right now, God chose me for such a time as this. He trusted me. He trusted me to know that this was the time that I would look to Him, that I would trust in Him, that I would go His way, that I would understand that His way is the only way. So for some time, Pastor Joshua and I have known that 2020 would be a pivotal year. But try as I might, I could never envision what that would be like. I knew there would be changes. I know something was going to happen, but I didn't know what. I couldn't envision it. I couldn't get any kind of a clear picture into focus. But I knew they would change. So I'm wondering, had you thought about it when you went through the Book of Revelation series? Had you thought about what things are going to be like? How are they going to change? Did you have any expectations? Any specific thoughts? Well, here we are now in the year 2020, and suddenly, dun, 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 there was the novel coronavirus, soon named COVID-19. Just seemed to come out of the blue, and the world changed forever when that happened. We didn't even understand quite what was happening, but do you remember Pastor Joshua prophesied this before it took place? He was warning us. God, through him, was warning us, pay attention. Things are going to happen. Things are going to change. You need to pay attention and you need to take action. And you need to be prepared for what is to come. Suddenly we found ourselves on lockdown with stay-at-home orders from the governor. When we went out, it was only for essential services. And when we did, it was wearing masks and gloves for our protection, for the protection of everybody around us. A new lifestyle against an unseen enemy. You know, unlike other diseases that had been named and highlighted before, and that it ones that had swept the world or greater parts of the world, but they all had symptoms right from the get-go, and everybody knew when they were infected, not with COVID-19. The scientists have found that people can have it for an entire week before they even know they have it, before they even show any symptoms. So this is really an unseen enemy. People don't know when the enemy's right in their face. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because he knows, and he knows to tell us what to do and how to navigate these last days. I like to see it as the world is like a minefield, and Jesus is leading us through the minefield safely, victoriously, so that we can become overcomers, so that we will be alive and remain when he returns. This is what we're facing now. So, after only 2 months of lockdown, guess what? People are jumping at the bit. They're climbing the walls. They've got cabin fever. Let me out of here. We gotta open the country. We gotta open everything up. Gotta go out. Gotta go and do and play and whatever else. It's like they were totally forgetting COVID-19. What happened to it? Did it just disappear? No, I think a lot of people are just not even taking it seriously. You know, I heard something really, really sad on the news. Just in the last day, they reported that there was a young man, 30 years old, who thought this was all a big joke, a big scam. And so he deliberately went to a party. I guess they're calling them code parties, and I guess his wasn't the only one. These people, these unbelievers, are saying, it's not real. I'm not going to get it. I'm going to be just fine. Well, he got it, and he died because he didn't take it seriously. And so now, in not taking it seriously, we have the big debate between the lives lost to the disease and the dollars lost because of a crippled economy due to the lockdown. So what do we see happening here? Do you remember in the Book of Revelation series, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit? And we all thought, oh, surely faith is what it takes to get through those last days, right? And yes, faith is involved, but the fruit that was mentioned the most frequently in the Book of Revelation was patience. You got it. Patience. More times than faith. God saying, you need patience. Well, I remember when Joshua taught on that, I remember the emphasis on patience, and I thought, okay, how's patience going to play a role here? Well, suddenly I saw where patience fit in because, oh my gosh, are we looking at impatience? Let's take a look at what the Book of Revelation does say about patience. In Revelation 1:9, it's the patience of Jesus Christ. And then he references the patience of the church. Yoo-hoo! You know, we are the church. The church is in a building. It's the people. It's the body of Jesus Christ. And that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 19. And then Revelation 3:10, I would like to read actually the next three scriptures because they are so powerful. We need to hear what God is telling us here. Remember in Revelation 3, this is Jesus speaking to the churches. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this isn't discriminating. It's coming on all the world. Do we live on the earth? Yes. Okay. So Satan has intention of trying to try us and test us and cause us to fail. That's what he's all about. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he knows. That's all he does. That's what he wants to do. Let's pay attention to Revelation 13:10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. God wants us to use only the sword of the Spirit, our power, our authority, through speaking the word of God, not physical guns and knives and such natural weapons. The sword of the Spirit. And he says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints, doing things God's way. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Whoa. Just doing things God's way. Keeping his commandments. That's what he wants us to do. That's how we need to be patient and watch things unfold around us. Because here, when everybody was ready to reopen the economy, here's one huge example of impatience. They didn't know they were being impatient, but they were. A pandemic usually lasts from 18 to 24 months. I'm not talking days. I'm not talking weeks. 18 to 24 months. That's a year and a half to 2 years. That's how long a pandemic normally lasts, that it takes time to work its way through. But here, after only 2 months, people are pushing to get things back to where they were, back to normal. That's what they want. They want to go back where they were. They want to go back to normal. But the world we knew has left, and it's not coming back. You've heard some people call it the new normal. Well, I suspect the new normal will become a new normal and keep evolving into what that new normal qualifies as the next few months and years progress. In so many ways, what we're going through is just practice and the things that are to come we need to be ready for. Practice hearing from the Holy Spirit, who knows all things and will tell us of things to come. Here's what three verses have to say about that. And we know that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is confirmed. Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And does that sound like we work together with God, God works together with us, and we use our authority and dominion? For all of those who have been through the school of dominion, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't yet, put it on your list. That's something you really, really, really want to do, because there's much to learn and not much time left in which to learn it. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's God speaking. Then we have Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Wow. So he wants us to know, right? That's the key here. He wants us to know. But you know what? We have to be hooked in with him. We have to spend time with him. We have to ask him. We have to listen to him for us to know these things. And I would add, he says, his prophets, Pastor Joshua, is a pastor, yes, but he is also a prophet and an apostle. And so when God imparts something to him and he shares it, we need to listen, pay attention, and act on what we've heard. And so if this is all practice, if COVID-19 is all practice for what's to come, then we need to practice stocking up with food and supplies, and being prepared to be locked away for at least 3 months at this time. And in the future, possibly longer, maybe even much longer. We just need to be prepared. Food, water, supplies. What kind of supplies? Everything you would use in your normal daily life. From personal, like toothpaste and toothbrush and dish soap and hand soap and so forth and so on. Just walk through your day and see what things you're using and realize you need to have a good supply of all these things. But wait, this isn't all. Don't I sound like one of those ads on TV now where they're trying to sell you something and they're trying to make it really good and they go, well, this and this and this, but wait, we're not done yet. And actually, this is true here. We're just beginning. Then comes the death of George Floyd, a black man, at the hands and knees of white police officers through police brutality. So here come massive demonstrations around the country, which were started as peaceful. But, this is a big but, what happened? Many of them turned into riots with vandalism and looting. Masses of people in close contact, and here was a really big deal with COVID-19 still raging. Masses of people in close contact, many, probably most, without masks, all while the virus is continuing to spread and to increase in multiple states. So we have pandemic pandemonium to stock market crash to race riots, and maybe we'll circle back to COVID-19 with a possible and likely second wave, or even just finishing out the first wave, because the first wave's not done yet. But the second wave could still be there to come. And that's still not all. And you realize we're only halfway through 2020. Boy, has this been a pivotal year or what? Just one thing right after another. Man, as soon as it started, it was bam, 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 bam. Whew! Okay, so what else? Okay, with the police brutality and the Black Lives Matter demonstrations, many people are now pushing to defund police departments, and that has actually already begun. And they're even wanting to do away with the police departments altogether. Wow. If this happens in the future, we could see a resurgence of terrorism and school shootings and whatever else you can think of that would be along the line of anarchy. Because without some kind of police presence, anarchy is going to rule and reign. With the Black Lives Matter movement came a renewal and fervent clash between Confederate and Union interest, while people have been for some time rewriting the history of this country. As I understand it, many textbooks have already been rewritten. Definitely a world such as we have never known before. So how do we navigate through all of this? How involved do we get? And how do we pray? Let me begin with how we pray. We at ABC know a lot of special prayers, and we have an arsenal of regular prayers that we are praying regularly. We need to keep on praying as the Word of God has taught us. These prayers are all out of the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority. And so we keep on keeping on with what we know is powerful and what we know works. And more than ever, we need to keep our joy, peace, and, oh yeah, patience. There it is again. We've been teaching on joy, peace, and patience for how many years now? And now the patience is really kicking in big time. And actually, the joy and peace too. With all the turmoil around us, we need the joy of the Lord. We need the peace of the Lord. And we need his patience to get us through. And we also need to remain, through all of this, loving and forgiving people. If we are to become overcomers. That's the key. That's the goal. Do we want to become overcomers? If so, then joy, peace, patience, loving and forgiving, no matter what, no matter what anyone says, no matter what they do. And we've talked about third-party offense. That's part of the whole picture too, because that's something we need to be aware of and something we need to resist. So I'm saying do not take these things lightly. You know, it's easy to say, oh, yes, we've heard that. We've heard it over and over again. We know it. But do we know it in our heads or do we know it in our hearts? Because the head knowledge is not worth a lot. It has to be put into action and put into our hearts for it to become part of us, for us to be able to be brought through victoriously. So we don't want to brush them off. We want to make them heart knowledge. We want to develop them into a lifestyle if we truly want to be the overcomers that Jesus references in Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Wow, that's a powerful scripture. Revelation 21:7 should be something we all aspire to. To be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Is that your goal? What will it take for us to reach that goal? How involved do we get in some of these movements? Are there not good movements? Are there not changes that need to be made? Yes, and yes, we all know that's true. But I would ask you, are they God movements? In other words, are these the things where God wants for us to focus for ourselves and our attention for such a time as this? A God thing is a good thing that's done in God's time, when God says to do it and how God says to do it. Some 30 or 40 years ago, a friend's college-age son, who was a Christian, by the way, was bemoaning the current political scene at that time. I told him that I knew the solution. Well, he got all excited until he heard what the solution was. I said the solution was Jesus Christ. If everybody accepted Jesus, the world would be a totally different place. You know what he did? He laughed at me. He thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. Mind you, he was a Christian. But he just thought, yeah, right. So are we laughing? Or do we recognize the hand of the devil in many of these challenges and much of this turmoil? People who are being rebellious, hateful, unbelieving, scoffing, double-minded, full of offense, full of strife, full of division and bitterness, etc., etc., and so forth. These people are all being led by demons, for Satan knows his time is short. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. I like to say it that he's no longer pulling out the little fiery darts. They're not fiery darts anymore. They're flaming missiles. He's pulling out all the stops. He's really pushing with everything he's got. In fact, he's unleashing more, bigger, and worse attacks on mankind than ever before. What he's done in the past, it's going to get worse in the future. So these terrible things we see happening, we can expect to get worse and more intense. Here are a couple things to consider about that. Number one, unless people get cleansed of all devils, demons, and evil spirits, nothing will change for the better. A reminder that we are in the last of the last days. We are now living in the book of Revelation. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, regarding the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, three times it is said that these things must happen in order to fulfill the scriptures. Let's look at those. Matthew 26:54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Mark 14:21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And verse 49 in Mark chapter 14, Jesus speaking, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And if so for that, what about the events of the book of Revelation? For God's word is true, and it stands fast forever. Number two, history has shown that democracies fall apart after approximately 200 to 300 years. Step by step, we have been watching our beloved country of the United States of America deteriorating. With prayer taken out of the schools in the 1960s, the free love movement also in the 1960s, legalization of abortion in the 1970s, and more people realizing that they have rights and they must fight for these rights. Yet many different interests are pushing for many different rights that they want to impose on all people. Well, if I have this right, you have to abide by this right. And here's an example. In the LGBTQ movement, that has given us gender-neutral bathrooms. One example of how one of those has impacted us. Sad to say, democracies fail because they are run by men without God. A theocracy with God in charge is the only way of success. And we have that in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So nice to know we do have that choice. Remember, the Word of God says that we are residents of the kingdom of God and simply passing through this world, strangers in a strange land. Let me read John 15, verse number 19. Jesus is speaking here. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this carries through to his disciples in this day and age. He says, you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. So if you find people in the world hate you, it's not you. It's the Jesus in you. They hate Jesus. Satan hates Jesus. We love Jesus. They hate Jesus. And because we're like this with Jesus, they're going to hate us too. It's kind of a given. In fact, Jesus warned us of that. So we just need to recognize it and not take it personally. So do we want to be part of the man's solutions to the problems of the world and mammon, or part of God's solutions by preparing the way for Jesus? At this stage of time, if we get involved in the political process or demonstrations for good causes without, this is a key phrase, pay attention, without being led by the Holy Spirit. Throughout ABC classes, we have said over and over again, every day we need to ask the Holy Spirit many times, what do I do? What do I say? How do I think? How do I act? We want his wisdom. We want his guidance. We've read that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows the pathway we need to take. And we need to ask him. And when we hear clearly from him, then we need to do what he says to do. That would be the best thing for us. So again, I repeat, without being led by the Holy Spirit, then we run the risk of not being alive and remaining because we miss the Lord by being perhaps double-minded, as James 1, 7 and 8 say, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Or we run the risk of our time and efforts being burned up as wood, hay, and stubble with no eternal value. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Something that's good for us to remember every day. So it comes down to good works versus God works. We should have only one goal: to be alive and remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ when he returns for us at the rapture. We must not be distracted. We must not be sidetracked. We must stay on focus. The time is short, and the worst is yet to come. I asked this question before, but it's so important, I'm going to repeat it. Do we want to be part of man's solutions to the problems of the world and mammon, or God's solutions by preparing the way for Jesus Christ? Matthew 6:24 tells us we must choose between God and mammon, for we can have only one master. Let me read the words of Jesus. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Very powerful. So this is extreme, you say. Yes, it is. But let me ask you, what price are you willing to pay to be alive and remain when Jesus returns? Let me read from 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 and then 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that an awesome goal or what? That's what we're talking about. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. This is an open book test. God is telling us what the answer is. Which way to go? Which way to choose? Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. The word cleave is a very important one, because when God first created marriage, he talked about a husband and wife cleaving unto each other. It is an inseparable bond. I believe it's that threefold cord with God in the middle, holding the two together as one. Very powerful. And so the choice is to choose life. The choice is yours to make. No one else can make that choice for you, but you. What is that goal worth to you? I'd like to close with reading two powerful scriptures. I'm going to begin with the first one, John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, from The Message translation. This is the crisis we are in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work that it is. Wow. And finally, I would like to read a scripture we're all very familiar with, but I want you to listen to it with new ears, a new hearing, a new understanding today as I read this. Apply this to what you've just heard. Apply this to the days in which we live. Apply this knowing that we are in the last of the last days and Jesus is returning soon. And this is one of the ways through which we get through as overcomers, as we come through victoriously to be alive and remain. This is a scripture we have recommended for years, that we all pray every day, every morning, ideally in the morning before your day begins, so it can kick into action throughout your day. Psalm 91 in the New King James Translation. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Shall not come near those that are in that secret place of the Most High God. All of this is preliminary to God's protections. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This is God speaking, of course. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So let's keep our eyes on the prize of seeing our Jesus face to face in the clouds on that day. It's coming soon. Amen. So be it, Lord.